You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show.
Hey everyone, Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another AfterBuzz After Show for The Real Housewives of New York Season 5, Episode 8, called Blinded by the Wine, or Blinded by the Whining. I just made that up. I am your host, Kristen Carney, and I have, of course, my three co-hosts with me tonight, and they're all looking lovely as usual. Yerman, you look very pretty.
Thank you.
Anna, why don't you start and introduce yourself?
Well, I think you started for me. My name is Anna Koppel.
Halfway there.
Yeah.
And where can we follow you on Twitter?
Oh, you can follow me at Koppel for Mayor, KoppelForMayor.
Very nice.
How you doing, everybody? I'm Yerman Gur. You can follow me on Twitter at Yerman Gur, YerManGur.
Hi, everyone. I'm Molly Harper, and you can follow me on Twitter at Molly Comedy.
And you guys can follow me at Kristen Carney on Twitter. It's KristenCarney. Tweet us and ask us questions throughout the episode if you're listening live, and we can check our phones and get to that. But before we get to anything tonight, I do want to say thanks to everyone on iTunes for listening, of course. You guys are our bloodstream. You're our everything. Mm-hmm. You're my pea to my salad. You're everything. So thank you so much for listening and downloading. If you guys want to share with your friends, if you have friends, that's awesome. Tell them about it. Also, if you have a couple seconds and you don't have friends, or you do have friends, you do have a lot of seconds, why don't you go and rate and comment on iTunes? I'm going to make this really awkward, so you just do it, so then I'll stop saying
this.
Just do it. So yeah, rate and comment. That really does us favors here at AfterBuzz, and we really appreciate you guys. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. I kind of just want to throw out, too, if you ever want to check us out on YouTube,
right,
post our videos. We are all very attractive people. We really are. So.
Whoa. Speak for yourselves, people.
Well, before we get to how attractive we are, we have Aviva Drescher calling in tonight,
yes,
in just a couple minutes. So talk about pretty. We're going to get to Aviva pretty quick in the next couple of minutes, because she is on the East Coast and we are here on the West Coast, so there is a little bit of a time difference. And she has children and a life, so I'm sure she has to get to bed. So she's going to call in, and we're going to ask her a couple questions. But before she calls in, we're just going to talk a little bit about her.
Yeah.
Sure.
Some Real Housewives style talking.
Yeah. That's kind of what we do.
Well, we saw her actually a lot in this episode, so I'm glad she's calling in tonight.
Me too, yeah.
Even though I know we saw the juiciness in the previews, so maybe next week she'd want to call in again and kind of explain that. But we met her father.
Yeah, George.
I like the guy.
Yeah.
I can't wait to learn more about George.
Yes.
We met her mother-in-law.
I don't think there's any more to George than that.
I think we learned everything about George.
Sex, Miami, Jewish. I think that's it.
Veneers.
Phenomenally white teeth.
Yes.
Veneers, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And phenomenally tan skin.
I just think Aviva wanted to introduce Sonia to her father as a punishment for planning her party poorly.
That's good. You should tell her that.
But I mean, I liked her dad. I thought he was really funny, and I thought he personified Florida for the retirement age, just sassy and fun. And when she calls in, I do want to ask her what life has been like growing up with a father like that.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
So embarrassing.
Fun. And fun.
He said something really creepy, like, if you weren't my daughter, I'd be going after that.
He said, if I wasn't your father, I'd be after you.
I had to rewatch that.
That was creepy.
Yeah.
I thought he couldn't be saying that to Aviva. I thought there was someone else in the room.
He could. Yeah.
Well, he also had her order, like, a 20-inch hot dog.
Yeah, it was weird.
Without sauces, by the way. If you're going to eat a 20-inch hot dog, at least have some mustard.
Yeah. And on top of everything else, Aviva's like, oh, Dad, At it again. You got me. I'm like, wow, that's really, this doesn't really shock you like that? Really? What's with the hot dog?
Well, I guess after like 41 years.
Right. Yeah.
Hot dog was ridiculous. Yeah.
I hope that's the worst of it. I really do.
Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, yeah.
I can't hear myself.
Loud
that's fine.
And clear.
Yeah, okay, perfect. We saw her in her condo in Miami.
Yep.
Her elevated condo.
Elevated condo.
Yeah, she's afraid of heights.
Yeah, her elevated condo. She can't go outside very well, but she figures, okay, well, it's bright and sunshiny, so I'll make an exception.
Yeah, I mean, we saw in the interview, it's like, well, I mean, sure, you can kind of make an exception when it's this pretty.
Sure.
Yeah. And Ramona staying at their apartment, we didn't see too much of that. I think maybe in coming episodes we'll see. But
yeah,
the two, I couldn't believe that Ramona would be able to stay at Aviva's, allowed by Aviva. You know,
she just seems to really like her, though.
I know, but I can't.
I mean, she said on her blog on Bravo TV, she said, I invited them down because I wanted to get to know Ramona and Mario better.
I believe she's on the line.
She is.
Oh, great.
Hi, it's Aviva.
Hi, Aviva. Welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Awesome. Well, how are you?
We're great. How are you?
I'm good. So who's sitting with who? There's Yerman, Kristen, Anna, and Molly.
Yes.
Present, yes.
And I'm actually going
to... Who's sitting next to who?
Oh, I'm sitting next to Anna. This is Kristen. And Yerman and Molly are partnered up for life.
Yes.
Okay.
You made it sound like we're married. No, we're not. We're not married. She made it sound like we were married.
They're both married, but not to each
yeah,
other.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Thank goodness. Misery loves company.
Well,
so where do we start now that I have a visual of where everyone's sitting?
Well, we want to start with you.
Okay.
So I have a question for you. It's Molly speaking here. We've noticed a lot this season that a lot of the housewives are plugging their products, like Ramona with her wine and Sonia with her toaster. And it's been kind of nice that you haven't been like relentlessly plugging something. But I'm curious, later in the season, will we start to see that? Or if you do the show again, will you have a platform?
Well, you're not going to see me promoting any product at all. And I'm not going to talk about what I am trying to send a message about, because if I do, Yerman's going to pick on me.
Oh no!
Yerman.
Because every time I talk about that, Yerman is watching the clock and trying to see how long it takes before I mention it.
It's weird because
I'm not going to say anything about what I'm doing and why I'm doing it.
Our after buzz clock here is a lot more flexible.
That's fantastic. Aviva, that's hilarious. You're wonderful.
He turned bright red, by the way.
I match my sweater now. Thank you.
His sweater isn't white.
Yeah.
I like it, though, when a guest can call us out.
It's fantastic. Bless your heart. Thank you very much. That's awesome.
Thank you, Yerman. You did me a favor.
No problem.
But Aviva, I would like to hear. I don't make fun of you every time.
That's all right.
Only part of the time.
I can take it. So what else? Where are we? Are we going to talk about last episode, this episode?
We want to talk about every episode.
Well, yes.
What I really want to talk about, and I feel like I can't talk about, is the previews that we saw for the coming episode. So we will avoid that. But
it looks like we want
exciting.
To have you on the show again.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what it looks
Excellent.
Like.
Yeah.
I know. It's, those previews scared me. I mean,
they
are insane. I mean, I thought the producers, you know, would leave some things out. They would leave some things to the imagination.
No.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I couldn't believe it myself. I'm just getting over that clip.
Well, yeah. I have a question about that, because it seems like you've been, you know, pretty like even keeled the whole season so far. And then we do see these clips of you kind of unleashing on the ladies. Is that because did it take a while to get comfortable in front of the camera and to kind of really let your true emotions fly?
You know, that's a great question. I wanted to really get to know the women myself. I didn't want to go in on judgments having seen them on television or what I'd heard from other people. And so it takes time to get to know someone.
Yeah.
It can take, years it could take. So I was really just trying to get to know everybody, and I was just trying to make my own observations. And yes, as we spent more time together, as we traveled together, and as I got to know people's true colors, and I don't want to, you know, or certain sides of them that I found disagreeable, I start to get a little bit unhinged.
Yeah.
That will happen.
I like how you said that, unhinged.
Well, nice. If you grind on your nerves for only so long before you can keep it inside.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is true. It's true.
Well, it looks, Aviva, from the previews, that it looks like you have a big falling out with Ramona. And up until now, it seems like you've had just a very dear relationship together. Can you speak at all about where your relationship with her stands today?
Yes, I can. Today, we're not on very good terms.
Oh.
We're not on good terms today at all. In fact, I would almost say that we are, I mean, we're cordial when we see each other, but we're not really speaking.
Yeah. I have to say that from the past seasons that I've watched on Real Housewives, I've always kind of been on Ramona's side. And it was probably up until this episode that when you guys were out to dinner and she was picking apart the type of salad that she was going to order and she wanted her cherry tomatoes cut in half, she really lost me. And now I feel like I'm kind of walking the line of maybe switching teams. I don't know if there's teams yet, but what was that like going? Is it anxiety provoking being around her?
Oh, no. It's not anxiety provoking. It's just that I think you just never know what you're going to get with her. And I didn't know that because I really hadn't watched the show before religiously. So I'd sort of seen her here and there, and I didn't know what to expect. But in the beginning, she was really very, she was very maternal. She acted almost like a big sister to me on the show, and she was really trying to get me in her good graces. And she was very nice. And you know, unfortunately, later on, I learned that I couldn't really trust her, and it was very disappointing. And I think for me, to feel very betrayed was a rough ride. But I don't get anxious about her. I'm used to New York bitches.
Yeah. Well, it seems like she's just a million miles an hour, and it's just like, a heart rate. Like, she almost seems to me like a tangible, rapid heart rate just person. That just,
yes.
You know.
She has so much energy. It's unbelievable. I mean, I do give her credit for that. I have to say, she has a tremendous amount of energy. She's up and at 'em, you know, she's up and out, and she wants to go and do, and that I do admire about her. She has tremendous energy, and she's a real doer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just leading off of that question, and I know you said you didn't watch The Housewives religiously, but going into the season, was there anyone that you knew you thought like, oh no, I'm going to be on with Luann or Ramona? Is there anyone that kind of struck you from the beginning that you thought you wouldn't like but maybe turned out to like, or preconceived notions of any sort?
I knew Luann a bit from years before. I thought that Ramona would be out of the gates more offensive than she was out of the gates. And I thought Sonia was going to be unkind to me because of some mutual friends that we have, and my ex husband is very good friends with her,
right.
And so I thought maybe she, I don't, you know, I was ready for anything, and I wasn't really pleasantly surprised or markedly disappointed by anybody of the three that I knew of. When I met Carol and Heather, I was really happy because I thought they were both very, very nice people. I was thrilled that they were brought on with me at the same time.
Yeah, the three of you guys have good chemistry.
Yeah, and I'm curious. Go on.
No, you go.
Well, yeah, I was curious, you know, all of that being said, you know, you said you didn't watch that much and you were kind of relieved to meet Heather and Carol, but I'm just curious what in the end made you decide to be on the show? Because you weren't a super, you know, super fan prior, you know, you weren't like watching every episode.
Right. There are two things that made me do the show. And they're not in order of importance. I'm just trying to get the clock moving here so I don't get canned on when I'm going to bring this up. the first thing is that I thought it was a really I thought it would be an amazing life experience to do this show and to be in the front row of pop culture. I thought would be just fascinating to be part of this. It's a phenomenal show. It's a cultural phenomenon, and to get a front stage, a front row seat, and a backstage pass to this show, I thought was a tremendous experience. I mean, I think in any capacity, whether you're working, you know, behind the camera or in, you know, in production, I think it's an incredible journey, and I thought it would be a great experience, and more importantly. Yearman?
Yes.
Did you see the clock? How many minutes have gone by?
Actually, I just completely lost track of time, honestly. But please, go continue. Go ahead.
So, and the most important reason was, at the end of the day, I really wanted to raise awareness for amputees and other people out there who are physically challenged or who feel at all physically, you know, inferior in some way, shape, or form. And yes, I want to raise money for my charities, and that's what I do on the sidelines. But I also wanted to give people a visual perception that everyone can do their personal best, and that, you know, what seems impossible can be done. So, for example, when I was little or when I was a teenager, because of my leg, I said it. I never imagined that I would get married and have children and you know, pick up a couple of degrees and all that. And I did it, and I hope that, you know, teenagers who do watch the show or children who may have physical issues will look and say, gee, you know, I can do that too.
Oh,
and I
so
think
nice.
That visuals are very strong in terms of getting a message across. So
sure.
I thought that would do some good. And
absolutely.
Ultimately, I chose that path to make a cartoon character out of myself on the show in exchange for helping other people. And I have done that. I'm getting tremendous responses through social media and emails and on my website.
That's wonderful.
Well, you're
that's
a very great,
you're
very
like
graceful cartoon
I do.
I mean, you know, there are cartoon characters all over them.
Well, is there a specific charity at all that you want to mention or that you're part of?
Yeah, thank you very much. The charity that's closest to my heart is One Step Ahead, and we raise money for children who can't afford prosthetic limbs. And we also create it's very late here in New York. We create athletic environments, you know, for children to raise their self-esteem who are missing limbs as well. And that's the one that's closest to my heart, obviously.
That's great.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, please forgive us for all the joking around, but so far you're a really good sport, and we
absolutely.
Really continuing the conversation.
Oh my
really
gosh.
Appreciate.
Don't be silly, and I love to joke around about everything.
Well, speaking
speaking
of joking around, you have to have some sort of kinship to it because your father we saw is incredibly funny.
my father is.
Crazy.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know if
I mean,
is the word, but
it's unbelievable. He wasn't like that when I was little.
Oh, okay.
we were wondering how in the world.
Normal.
We were like, how does a teenage girl grow up with a dad like that? I mean, coming out
no,
so adjusted.
Yeah,
so well.
It wasn't like that. You know, my mother was this stunning German woman, and she was very elegant and very feminine, and here's my father. He's this, you know, guy, this tough guy from Brooklyn, and you know, she really helped to tame him. And you know, whenever he said or did anything that was inappropriate, she would really put him in his place in a very elegant way. And I think as people get older, they become a little unhinged. And I also think that, you know, they have nothing to lose by just, you know, letting it all out.
Yeah.
And my mom is gone now, so there's really no one there to keep him, you know, sort of in check. So he wasn't like that as a child at all. He was much more normal.
Well, the reason I actually wanted to ask is because my dad's not a sex addict that I know of, but he's just he has a really similar personality to your father. But I grew up with him like that, so I always had to do a lot of explaining away.
And so I was wondering, you know, if your childhood was kind of affected. I mean, I liked having a funny dad, but it was some, you know, a topic of conversation mostly as a child. Can you tell us a little bit if he is actually a sex addict, or is that something that he kind of plays up?
I don't really know the actual definition of a sex addict, and I probably threw that around too loosely. I assume a sex addict, like that sex would interfere in your daily functions.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think that's the case with him.
That's not George.
Yeah.
I think he's perfectly functional, and I also think that he's I think he likes to talk about it a lot.
He's very uninhibited.
And I think he's, you know, at close to 80 years old, I think that he has developed a fine art of living well, and he knows that life is fragile from one day to the next, and that you have to live every day to its fullest. And so if one of the things that he really enjoys at this stage of his life is sex, so be it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do not think he's a clinical sex addict.
That's good. Well, you know, when we were watching that episode, I was watching your interactions with your dad and your interaction with your husband, Reed. And Reed just seems like such a classy, great guy. And I was like, he's just, not that your dad's not. I'm just saying, they just seem so.
No, it's okay. My dad's a little rough on the edges.
You know, just Reed doesn't seem like the type to bring up a vibrator at a dinner or something like that. Right. And I was curious, you know, being that I know I read that Reed is an investment banker and all of that, what did he think when you first got proposed to be on the show? What was his take? Was he supportive, or did he have reservations about it?
It was very much a family decision, and I would never just come home and be like, guess what, honey, I'm going to go do a reality show. we had discussions between us for a month, and I think that every other day we changed our mind. Mm-hmm. It was a very, very difficult decision, and we knew the risks involved. We knew that there would be a lot of scrutiny, and we also wanted to protect our children. And at the end of the day, I think that Reed's cousin is Fran Drescher, the actress.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he, you know, I think he had some familiarity with show business. And he had been exposed to it for many years. And again, for me, ultimately, the decision to get out there and raise awareness for amputees and for anyone with physical challenges and limitations just surpassed the fear and the ultimate scrutiny, which is there.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, a piece of this is that, you know, remember, in second grade, I walked into school on crutches, missing a limb from a summer accident. Mm-hmm. And I had to grow up with a lot of scrutiny and people staring at me all the time and people asking questions all the time. So if I could endure a lifetime of that, then I can certainly endure, at the age of 40, a silly reality show.
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
Like,
amazing.
Yeah. I can barely stand comments from AfterBuzz. So.
Yeah.
So you're.
I mean, you know what? Thank you. And, you know, and with that said, it's been a little bit harder than I had anticipated.
Yeah.
Sometimes I read something and I'm just like, you know, wowza.
Yeah.
I get a little bit thrown off, but I'm getting used to it every week. I'm getting so much more used to it. So I think that by the end of the season, I'm going to be really made of steel.
Do you try to avoid reading this stuff, or do you seek it out, or, you know, how do you usually go about
seeing it? I don't read that much. We don't really read much. Sometimes it just pops up on my Twitter feed, and that's a bit hard to avoid.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I have to say, once in a while, I feel a little bit like I'm being bullied.
Yeah.
Once in a while, but I've been very much coached by Bravo to just not respond.
Right.
Because,
yeah.
You know, what certain people are looking for are responses.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They just
so
want
I try
attention.
Not to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and, you know, sometimes people get things wrong, and I'm very happy to own things that I do wrong. You know, like, I'm a little bit, this is a little thing, but I get a little bit upset that people think that I'm a pot stirrer. You guys may have heard that a little bit.
Yeah.
you're all scared now. Yeah. You again, guys. That's right.
Cross that busted. Question off the list.
You know, it's a very delicate balance on the show. You can't just sit there and say nothing.
Sure.
Right.
You just can't. You have to see things, and you have to express opinions, and that's what you've been hired to do.
Exactly.
You know, wallflowers don't get hired to do this job that's much more difficult than it looks. Right. So you have to express an opinion. And in those interviews, as Carol said to you last week, we're very much encouraged to talk about people behind their back.
Right, right.
In fact, well, that's what the whole session's
so
about.
Yeah, right. That's what makes the show so great.
We love it.
Am I pot stirring? Possibly. You know, someone's got to do it. Or am I really just expressing opinions on what I'm seeing?
Sure.
You know, if I wasn't making a TV show, would I express those opinions so readily? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But somebody's got to do it. Someone's got to keep it moving. And, you know, I think that this show is about saying what you're thinking.
Right.
Well, I have a pot-stirring question. So first of all, I just want to say that Reed is definitely the most handsome housewife we've ever seen on The Real Housewives of New York.
Excuse me.
Oh, house my husband. God. Let me tell him. Hold on. Reed, you... This is a fabulous group of young... gorgeous people think that you're the hottest house husband.
You said housewife too almost.
He says thank you.
Oh, well, you're welcome. Excellent. And anyway, you also just have like this really loving relationship. It's so obvious. It really translates. So I really adore your marriage.
Oh, thanks.
But with regard to that wedding ring,
yes.
Was that your idea? Did you really want to do that for yourself, or did you do that for the other ladies?
No, it wasn't my idea at all. It was Sonia's idea.
Oh, wow.
It was in that conversation on the rooftop.
Right.
You know, Sonia was really, really very serious about the fact that Reed should wear a ring. And I didn't care at all about him wearing a ring. And she was so, you know, and then she sort of just got me thinking that, you know, maybe it would be better that he wears a ring. And I mean, I when I think of my husband, I just think of him at the office. You know, I see him getting in a car, going to the office, being at the desk, getting in a car, and coming home. So I'm wondering where all these girls are that are hitting on him. But just in case, anybody got the wrong idea, I figured there was no downside to having him wear a ring, and he happily wears it. And the ring that I gave him was actually not a ring that I bought in that store. It was actually the ring we got married in.
Oh, wow.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I actually just had it inscribed.
Yeah.
Oh.
We saw the party, your anniversary party that Sonia had planned, I think a little bit fruitlessly, maybe, perhaps. Do you feel that she didn't really do her due diligence in planning the right party for you?
I think the whole thing was last minute. Mm-hmm. And the timing of that party was somewhat out of our control, because it's hard to get all the girls at a party at one time because we all have very busy lives.
Sure.
And it's, you know, we always like for everyone to be at these kinds of parties.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that in part it really wasn't her fault. And in part, you know, she was new. This was a new business she was starting. And I'm not really sure what happened with that band.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I mean, yeah.
Why? I thought they were so great.
The band was on again on Andy Cohen last night.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I had heard that, but I didn't watch it.
And it was just, it was not a successful party, but I don't think a successful party is about necessarily the entertainment and the food and the napkins and the decor. Mm-hmm. I think it's about having a good time.
Right.
And I do think that everybody, you know, was entertained at the party, if not by the band, certainly by the brouhaha in the middle of the party.
Right.
So that was fun. And I also just wanted to clarify that I wanted to take some ownership that I was wrong to call to give Carol the credit for writing Reed's speech. And in fact, at the end of the day, Reed spoke from his heart after I fell, which was an accident and happened right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
And what he said was that he said, when you fall, I feel your pain. So he was trying to say that, you know, when you're in pain, Aviva, I'm in pain, meaning him, Reed.
Right.
And I thought that was very, very sweet. And that had nothing to do with what Carol had written. In fact, what Carol had helped him to put together, he didn't even use.
Mm. Oh, that's good.
But I should never have said a word. And really what happened,
yeah.
if you want to know the bottom, the bottom line is that I fell and I really hurt my ankle so badly that when I was sitting in that chair and the singer was singing, there was no Advil and there was no Tylenol, and I had to get through the next couple of hours of the party. So I just grabbed a glass of Ramona's wine, and I'm not kidding, I just drank the whole thing in the hopes that it would kill the pain.
Right. You're not a big drinker, so for you to just
and so one glass of wine is going to do me in. So when I actually was on the stage and I was sort of, you know, saying to Carol, you know, talking to her about her speech, I was just not really thinking straight. You know, I would never undermine my husband like that. I'm a good wife.
Really cool of you to take.
And I'm a very good housewife.
Yeah.
Speaking of being his wife, I'm just curious why you two never had a wedding.
Oh yes, we never had a wedding because we had both been married before, and we had both had big weddings before. And I think that we both learned the hard way that it's really not about the wedding or the party or the cake or where everybody sits, it's about the marriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so to some extent, we wanted to place emphasis on the day after the wedding and not some big wedding party. And we made that day, we made our wedding day about the children. And when we got married at a synagogue on Gramercy Park, which is so beautiful here in New York City. Mm-hmm. And we just had our two children there.
Oh, gorgeous.
Lovely.
That was what was important to us. What was not important to us was the seating arrangements, the flowers, the music, the food, and all that. And that's sort of why we didn't have a wedding. And that's sort of why, even after 5 years, we had an anniversary, because we felt that, although it was just 5 years, we had never thought
Are you mocking what we were saying last week?
Aviva, yes, Ken. You think I'm the only one? Come on.
We're going to change the link from now on so Aviva can't find
it. I pay attention.
Good for you. Good for you, Aviva.
I do my homework.
Good for you, Aviva.
When I was watching last week's episode, I realized I said, everyone's married at least once for 5 years. Big deal.
Yeah. Good for you,
Aviva.
I
don't know how long you all have been married, but, 5 years is a long time.
Absolutely.
As Carol liked to say, we're funny mean it's all in good fun and
you guys are fabulous. You're not mean at all.
Thank you.
You're great. You're getting the right beat. You're great. Without you know what, it would not be half as fun. Really.
Thank well, thanks, Aviva. So but we've really Sweet. So far we really like watching you on the show. You're like a real warm spot, honestly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I do want to backtrack a little bit because this question has kind of been on my mind. I read that Bethany Frankel had recommended you to do the show. How do you have what's your relationship with Bethany? How are you acquainted?
We have a dear mutual friend named Jake Spitz, and I grew up with Jake here in the city. And he's a good friend of Bethany's. And the long story short is that Jake sent Bravo to me very much with me kicking and screaming. And when Bravo had the tape, Bethany said, you must see this tape. And I met her for 10 minutes one day on the street in the Hamptons. And she said, I think you should really hire Aviva. And to Andy. She said that to Andy.
Oh, wow.
And so he searched out for that tape and he saw it, and they all actually hired me, and I never even met Andy. He usually meets the housewives before he hires them, and I never met him until we were done filming.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that wild?
That's wild.
Yeah. It's a small world.
Yeah.
The reality.
Yeah, so I must have done something right or wrong in that, in that interview tape.
Right. Well, they obviously loved you.
You know, that's a very funny comment because, you know, if they love me, what does that mean? Does that mean that I'm absolutely out of my mind? You know,
right?
Like, when they called me, and they were like, "Hi, we want to interview you." I was like, "Oh gosh, I'm so insulted." You know, I was like, right. I'm now. This is now certifiable. I really am. Right. You know. Nuts.
I love it.
I don't think that's true though, because from what I've read, they wanted to like tone down the crazy on the show. So,
you're not Kelly Ben-Simone.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've as you said on Twitter, you've compared yourself to Woody Allen being neurotic. And I think that's been kind of fun to see your neuroses been played up.
Yes, I am absolutely a very fearful person, which I guess dates back to my accident at 6 years old, and probably genetics. And I am like Woody Allen, with larger boobs.
Yeah.
And it's just
much,
yeah,
much
I mean,
more attractive.
I was gonna deal with that on the show, and I just decided to own it.
Well, it's good because I think we see so many women that are more, they have more fears over makeup than they do about something that might be a realistic fear. So it's nice to see someone with a little bit of the New York neuroses, because it's New York and everyone, I'm from New York originally, and so I like that you have neuroses because it makes me feel more comfortable because I have neuroses, and so we like to see that. It adds, I think, a sense of actual realness.
There's safety in numbers, and misery loves company. So,
yeah, totally.
If we're all nervous Nellies, then that's the new normal.
Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly.
And you're Jewish, right, Aviva?
Yes.
So am I.
I was born. My mom was German and not Jewish, and my father is Jewish. And I did a conversion in my early 20s.
That's hilarious.
Because I was confused. Christmas, Hanukkah, I didn't know what to do.
That's my situation. That my mom's German, my dad's Jewish. Anyway, I was just trying to say, respect, represent with the Jewish neuroticism, so.
Completely.
Represent.
Well, Aviva, thank you so much for calling. We really, really appreciate it. It makes us, really look forward to tonight, because we always like to do this, but knowing that you guys are watching and listening, it actually solidifies everything that we're doing and maybe embarrassing us of what we're saying. Yeah. But thank you again so much.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, and you guys are all gorgeous and amazing and funny and smart, and I love your show. And anyone who's listening, you can follow me at Aviva Drescher. That's what I'm selling.
Aviva, Aviva, one more time. What was the name of your charity again?
One Step Ahead.
All right. So
there's a website. It's also on my website at Aviva Drescher.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Well, we'd love to have you back on later once we get to see more of your drama later this season.
More of the dish.
You're going to see. Yeah, well, I'll come back on.
Yay.
That would be lovely.
And then we can. And maybe you can, if I do anything, that's embarrassing, maybe you can come and I can get on the show and try to save myself.
There you go.
Will you guys save me?
Yeah,
of absolutely.
Course.
Team Aviva.
Thank you.
Hey, Aviva, one last question. How tall are you?
Oh, I'm 5'9".
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. You look like a supermodel.
I know. It's funny. You can't really see how tall people are on the show.
Yeah. Well, you seem really tall. I would have guessed that you were like 6'1" or 6".
Oh,
but I'm seeing you probably.
Maybe when I wear heels, I'm probably up.
Sure. I think I made that call when you were standing next to Ramona, so that was an easy mistake.
Well, thanks again so much.
Absolutely,
thank you so much
for taking time out of your night.
Get a good night's sleep.
Oh, great! Thank you. Great show, guys. Thank you so much.
And give all our love to your family.
And Yerman, no more counting the minutes.
You got it. I have no idea how many minutes this has been.
I'm not in charge of that. I have no control over that.
You got it, Aviva. My promise.
All right.
You got it.
Big kiss, guys.
Take care.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Aviva Drescher, everybody.
She was wonderful.
Fantastic.
Yeah. God, I'm like totally in love with Aviva right now.
Yeah, me too.
Aviva and Carol are tied.
I take back anything negative I ever said.
Can we just take a minute to bask in the Aviva love?
Well,
just take a minute.
Aviva, we're not just basking in this because we know you're watching and listening either.
Yeah.
Like, we actually really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah. She's great.
Should we take a minute to bask?
Yeah, so yeah. I think we're going to actually go to a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to actually get to the rest of the episode and do some special segments, and so we'll see you in a minute.
Hey there, good buddies. My handle's Wooly Bear. I'm a truck-driving man, but I'm not that old-school kind of truck-driving man, no. I like to listen to podcasts while I'm driving through these great United States of ours. And my favorite podcasts in the world are from AfterBuzz TV. And why? Because AfterBuzz TV is like a post-game wrap-up show for all your favorite TV shows, like Jersey Shore, Dancing with the Stars, Mad Men, and a whole truckload more. I like listening to my Gossip Girl podcast, catching up with all my fellow fans and getting all the latest news and gossip. You know, I got some strong opinions. And AfterBuzz TV lets me share those opinions with thousands of other listeners. Woo-wee, what a feeling. I used to doze off on those lonely stretches of road. And don't worry, I got the cruise control. But now I'm wide awake and listening to all the AfterBuzz TV goodness. Check them out. Give them a holler. And tell them the old Wooly Bear sent you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to AfterBuzz. We're talking about Real Housewives of New York. And we just got off the phone with Aviva Drescher. And we had a wonderful conversation that I'm sure you all heard. And I just want to say, for that little brief second there when we went to commercial, we just said that it's surprising that for a reality show to have women that are eloquent and thoughtful, but yet can still make for interesting TV.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's really
yeah.
neat that, and again, we did say if this, Yermont said, as I will give credit, if this was Real Housewives Orange County, that probably would have been a lot of a different,
yeah.
you know,
it just
different
feels
discussion.
Like it might have been different.
Molly
Whatever.
And I don't feel that way. Molly and I love the Real Housewives.
I know
Orange
you guys
County.
Do.
I just said it would be a lot more trash talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah.
But I mean, it's wonderful. These women are funny. They're intelligent. They, they're not afraid to like own different things about them, misgivings as well as, you know, things that should be played up. They're,
yeah, Yermont, you could really learn a thing or two.
I should. I'm just going to go home, Aviva, and just take down my notes and just memorize them and get rid of all my watches.
Well, besides that, we did have somewhat of a full episode. I think in the coming weeks we'll have even more to talk about, especially with Aviva, as we mentioned. But we saw Sonia getting some work done on her brand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not her face, but her brand.
Right.
And it was kind of one of those things where, like...
It was the face of her brand.
It was
her logo.
Yes, the face of her brand.
Oh, my God.
It was sexy.
I was like, we have to look at that logo.
Do you...
Yeah.
Do you guys remember Ron Papil, You Said It and Forget It? It really cuts the fat.
No.
Do you remember that infomercial?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say no.
Okay. Well, I mean, maybe I was the only child who stayed awake at 2 in the morning watching these infomercials. But anyway, this toaster oven reminds me exactly of that. It had these different racks and you would just set it and forget it.
Yeah. yeah.
It's kind of like that.
It's a toaster.
Oh, set it and forget it.
Yeah.
Set it.
Set it.
You meant like she
set the time.
It.
Set the time.
You set the time.
Oh,
and then you forget it.
Forget about
forget it.
Yeah. It's the forget about it toaster.
Be good for George.
Right. Yeah. Stick your hot dog in there. Just walk
stick
away.
Your hot dog in. You forget about
it's
it.
It's hard before you know it. You'll come back. No, I don't know. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. But the hot dog and the bun. Maybe some kraut on the bottom. Oh man.
We love toasty
forget
buns.
It. Well, it was just kind of like, to me, it was annoying. It's like Heather has a business, so let's ask Heather all about a business that has nothing to do with her business.
Yeah. yeah.
It's like Heather might have a business, but she's not a food industry specialist.
Yeah.
I mean, she specializes in covering the food that you've eaten with your
yeah.
garments.
I did agree, though, with the professional package designer that it is kind of like when you go in to get your haircut, not my past experiences, but when you go to get your haircut and sometimes you want a certain thing, the professional knows that maybe that won't work for your hair or something. And I know he didn't study her brand, but the look he was going for was very sophisticated. It looked very Pottery Barn-ish. Yeah. And I felt like Sonia should have given him more credit for being a real professional designer who you might not think could really make something good, but...
Yes, I would agree with that, except as also a devil's advocate, you know, we're so apt to sometimes criticize these women, but I did understand a little bit of where Sonia was coming from as well, because I wasn't really too clear on why this art director created an entire concept of a brand and its logo, ensuing logos, based on what I perceive to be almost no prior interaction and or research of Sonia as a person.
Well, the reason he did that is because it was free. You know what I mean? This guy didn't put in, it's not like they had, they weren't paying for it. Heather said, you know, he's going to do me a favor because I know him. And I know you're going to, you should have some, you know, knowledge of what you're doing and appreciate what you're doing.
I guess there's a certain, you know, justification, the fact that he was doing it pro bono, but he is going to be on a show. It is going to be seen by a lot of people. There is a certain amount
of himself.
There is a certain amount of exposure that's at least implied by having him work. He's also doing it as a favor to obviously someone he's worked with in the past, Heather. It just seems like not even having, I mean, I understand that it wouldn't have necessitated like prior meetings, multiple meetings with Sonia and talking about things for days on end, but looking up her website, just taking a look, or you know, just having one maybe 10-minute phone conversation with him, it doesn't seem like it would have been too huge of a deal. And it seems like she kind of was justified in thinking, it's not that she didn't like those drawings so much as exactly not being able to figure out exactly how does this relate or how does it represent what I'm going for.
Yeah, but her chief complaint after that was like, he doesn't know me at all, he doesn't know my brand, therefore he doesn't know why it should be a sexy J.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't say she expressed herself functionally. I just said that she kind of had a point in just wanting someone that had taken a little bit of time to kind of get to know her a little bit.
I completely understand.
Maybe they could have had a half sexy J.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I agree with you. Or if he didn't have the time to look her up, he could have said, so tell me a little bit about you and what your brand means to you.
Sure.
Yeah.
You
know?
Right.
Instead, he was just like, I don't know anything about you, but this is your logo.
Yeah.
And I could see why she was irritated.
Yeah, they had like four of them ready to go. Heather was all ready to be like, I'd like these four. And wait a second. She hasn't, like, give her a second. Let her take a look at it. Let her take them home.
Yeah.
Let her kind of stew on it. This is a big deal. No matter how you slice the cake, no matter how we may criticize one way or another, this is a company. She's obviously invested in it. It's her name, her identity. It's something that she cares deeply about. So you want everything, as naturally would one would expect. You want everything to be perfect. It may not always be, but you at least want it to want to try.
I went to school for the creative side of advertising, and I spent a lot of time with art directors and writers, and a lot of the difficulty people have working in that design advertising industry is that someone comes in and they think they know themselves really well, but they're not always projecting it the way the rest of the world is seeing it. And that's what his point was, is that you may be seeing it this way, but you know, in reality, other people aren't going to see it that way. So to have fresh eyes of someone in the design advertising industry is helpful, even though he doesn't know about her brand. He does know that the J wasn't clear. And he knows that branding, you want to know, someone is going to see that and maybe be like, Sonia? Or something, you know? So at least he can give those eyes of like, I'm the professional and I'm telling you, people aren't going to read this correctly and you're not going to be branded. Your brand isn't going to be as well known as you'd like it to be because
I totally get that. I would have just liked to seen something halfway. Like, I understand that he is a professional and Sonia should definitely kind of hear his opinion as obviously an accomplished professional in his field, in his own right. But it would have been nice to see some like halfway point. Like, it would have been a powerful case for him if he'd say, well, I know that I've taken a look at your stuff. And here are some things I'm seeing based on my professional experience that I'd like you to kind of consider. Instead of just saying, well, just negating it, like, I haven't seen you, I haven't talked to you, but here's the four things I think you should go with.
Yeah, I definitely agree on that part. But I think we're beating a dead logo at this point.
Yeah, we're beating,
beating a dead logo.
I have a question because I came into this season not watching prior seasons.
Yeah.
Why toaster ovens?
I think anyone who's watched every season would have no idea why a toaster
oven. I don't.
Okay, because I was like,
I have no idea either.
I was curious, is she famous for cooking everything all four seasons in a toaster oven?
Yeah.
That's her thing?
And like, she's cooked for royalty in her toaster oven, and it just sounds so comical.
Is that royalty Luann?
It's, no.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's ridiculous.
That just seems hard.
Like, the Queen of England is sitting next to a toaster waiting for a sandwich. It's just so bizarre sounding,
well,
and it's so comical.
Her mac and cheese.
You know, the Queen puts on her pants one leg at a time. I'm just saying, everyone needs a toaster oven that works.
Yeah.
All I know is that when the toaster oven becomes available, I hope it's on Amazon.
Well, the other thing
Thank you. Oh, my gosh. That was a great face.
Great point.
Amazon, wow, we have not forsaken you. If you guys are looking to buy anything at all, especially toaster ovens, you can go to AfterBuzzTV.com and just click on the little, or the big, actually, Amazon logo right on the top of the page, and it'll take you to Amazon at no charge, and you can go ahead and buy your product. And then we get a little, as we like to say, kickback. I don't like that term. I want to come up with a new term, kickback. But we get a little bit of something, some love, and that helps us here at AfterBuzz. So do that. And then also, you, when you're doing that, you should download the iTunes podcast app. It stores all your podcasts in your toaster
oven.
I like when
you slowed that down.
I just was getting so ahead of myself.
Podcast app.
Store your podcast in your toaster oven. That's the end of that pitch.
I love that.
Excellent.
Okay.
Podcast app is free. It's free. Everything's free.
Yep.
Yeah, my friend actually downloaded it the other day and listened to our show with the whole drive from LA to San Diego and said
wow.
It was awesome.
Yeah, amazing.
Nice. Very cool.
We talked that long? All the way to San
I guess
Diego.
We did. Either that or she was driving really fast.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Or maybe it wasn't
slow.
The whole drive. It
technically,
was the
I remember that being a 2-hour drive, but it's okay. It's okay.
But I do want to know, though, like just about this toaster oven, is just like she's trying to brand herself as a sexy person. And toaster oven is just like the least sexy thing
right.
ever. Like if she wants to be a sexy branded, like she should brand something sexy.
Right. Like lingerie.
Thank
yummy.
You.
Yummy.
She and
something.
Heather could team up for sexy lingerie
right.
or something. Oh, we just gave them a brilliant business idea.
Yeah. But
I hope we get a kickback.
That's not her thing.
I mean, it's just dumb. I'm sorry, Sonia. Yeah. The toaster thing.
I mean, it just, it's just sounds so clunky. I don't know how a toaster oven could be sexy.
Especially
but
three racks.
Sonia just still, I mean, she just cracks me up.
It's such a wonderful image. The guy just walked in with like a suitcase and out of the suitcase comes like this toaster oven. He's like, dunk, puts it on the table. He's like, welcome to Sonia's toaster oven.
Right. Well, it hasn't been branded yet. Let's not judge.
And like, who in New York City has that much counter space?
But that's all you need. So you won't need a blender or anything else to take up counter space, apparently.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, you guys, because we have about 10 minutes left, I'm going to move from the toaster oven topic.
Okay. Sorry.
We can talk about it after we're done and just talk about
all
it
night
all
long?
Night long.
Okay.
Sure.
But I want to move to a little bit of the Luann-Heather conversation that they had while they were getting their already waxed eyebrows waxed.
Time out. Okay. Who waxes anymore? Everybody gets their eyebrows threaded.
Right, it's threaded.
Right?
Heather's so 1990.
She is very
1990.
She's
so
1990. Yeah. She walks in with P. Diddy.
I know. I'm going to go get my wax, y'all.
Every step I take.
Oh, my God.
Just picture her really
jamming
out.
We just went south.
The rap song.
Kristen has a good voice.
Thank you. I do have an okay voice.
She does. Like, she has a good voice, you guys. You could have been on Broadway.
Yeah.
Ugh. Ugh.
Anyway.
If you really heard me sing.
Yes.
Only.
So, Luann, Heather.
So, Heather brought up the conversation that she
want to find out what the
wow.
Heather, that's
sorry
exactly
about that.
That's exactly the way Heather deals with conversations.
Yes,
just kind of goes into her head first. she approached Luann in London and then tried to do it again in New York, being just as subtle.
Yes,
and it's like Heather. Say it.
Yeah.
Bitch, please. Say it what you mean. Like,
I think that whole conversation was leading up to her trying to pitch. I think she'd been thinking about that. It just went right over her brow thing. I think she'd just been waiting to say that. And so everything leading up to it was just like, I don't understand what you're talking about. You tried doing this already. Oh, there's the punchline. Okay, you just wanted to say that on air. Okay.
Uh-huh. Right, right. Well, Heather is, it's weird because I find her to be kind of a little bit, aggressive, not aggressive, but she's a little bit of a fighter in a sense to me. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know why she's afraid to kind of address Luann and say straight out what she meant, which is the women don't really feel comfortable with her presence.
She almost acts intimidated around Luann.
Yeah,
because Luann is mean. She's a mean girl.
Yeah.
So I think that, I mean, I would be intimidated around Luann too.
Yeah.
Like I feel fine talking about her from here, but if she were like in the room,
and maybe to a certain extent after what's going down with between Ramona and her, Heather just wants to kind of not start yet another, you know, tangled relationship with yet another cast member.
Right. Well, when Heather was talking to Sonia and the women about and Carol about Luann, she was on board with their opinion, but then when she mentioned it to Luann laughed like, oh, I'm too tall. They should go first. And Heather was like, oh, I know. Isn't that ridiculous? So she really is playing up the side that she's in the present moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I disagree. Like I told you, I'm becoming, or maybe I'm fully team Heather at this point. But guys, listen. But she did sort of make this suggestion to Luann. She's like, "Yeah, I know it's silly, but you know, maybe
that was a good point.
As their friend, if that's what they need, then do that for them because that's what you do as a friend." And Luann's like, oh, "I'll think about it."
Yeah, that's like, a good point. That's a good point.
So she did sort of like, you know,
she was nice Luann. About it, but then she kind of actually said what she was trying to say,
right?
Yeah,
which was maybe give these women the benefit of the doubt because they're your friend,
right? Yeah. Be a friend. is what she was saying.
Well, the other thing that Luann did this episode that did bother me, even though I don't know if I'm on Team Ramona anymore, is she did the wine thing.
Yeah.
I thought that was so high school. That was so eighth grade mean girl move.
It was.
Yeah. I didn't think it was funny.
You know,
I thought
I'm not digging Ramona these days, but I still didn't like that.
Yeah. Because mean is mean, and you can recognize it.
Right. And you know, and
it was just so immature.
It's so immature, but Luann was going for trying to embarrass Ramona, and I'm glad that Ramona did actually kind of know her wine. She didn't love it at first, but she did know it. She didn't look as stupid as Luann was trying to make her look. Mm-hmm. So Luann lost in the end. She lost that little
fight.
Because it made her just look like such a loser to even do that.
Right. Like, you thought ahead this far in advance to have this event with this sommelier, and you're going to get her wine bottle. You're going to team every, you know, your boyfriend up with you. It takes a lot of thought to be mean.
But the one thing, though, was like, no, don't tell now.
Yeah. Like, they were really set on making this plan go right.
Yeah.
I don't know if I missed something there or what, but it seemed like when Ramona first took the sip, she said something like, it tastes, and she said something negative.
It needs more citrus. Like, it needs more depth
of flavor.
She did say
something negative.
She said something negative. And then later, she said, see, I knew my wines, and I was right. And it was like, well, you kind of actually said...
She called out the flavors that were in the wine.
Is that what she did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she basically called out the flavors... But she was still ended up saying that they were bad.
Yeah.
Crap,
yeah. Basically. I mean, that's the thing. Like,
I mean, that's why it was mean. I get it. But she still tried to make it look like she. Maybe it was a defense mechanism.
Well,
but she
also
tried to make
it
look like she wasn't.
Well, Luann also put Heather first to taste it and say she didn't like the wine.
Right.
You know, Heather tries it and she's like, makes a face, but has no idea it's Ramona's wine.
Yeah.
And so you're just further perpetuating this hatred between the two of them, even though I don't think it really built as much as Luann wanted.
And then how classless was it to ask Carol's friend if she could borrow a dress?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She, like, meets him within 10 minutes and then is like, can I borrow one?
Totally agree with Carol's take on it.
That's exactly how I picture her.
Carol totally agreed with Carol's take on it. It's like, I've known these people. They're like family. I've known them for over a decade. I've never asked for, you know, how do you... But then again, there are plenty of people that do that.
Yeah.
That have... And their excuse, or that is to say the little phrase that's always thrown in discussions about these people is, well, the squeaky wheel, you know, gets the grease. So if you don't ask for it, no matter how ridiculous or unreasonable or even impolite or rude your request may be, you're never going to know the answer. And that's one of those, like, all or nothing statements I have problems with over the long run. At some point, you really have to check yourself. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think Luann is just a brazen person, and that's something that she so would do. And it's like, Carol's reaction, if I was Carol, would have also been my reaction. Like, oh, please, really? You know, like, you know, I don't ask for 10 years. I'm your best friend. And of course she does. It's like, just of course. It's that woman that, of course, is going to do this. It's not a surprise.
But you're right. The squeaky wheel gets the grease.
It totally gets
the
grease.
But can she ask in, like...
I hate you, Molly.
But can she ask in a month and not within, like, 10 minutes of knowing them? Like,
right. That's how she gets places. That's probably how she got on Housewives.
But you know what? That's how you get ahead. Yeah.
Right.
That's how you get ahead in life.
That's how you become a...
Countess.
Countess.
Apparently she bought her title. She was like, can I buy a title? Somebody said yes, and she got it.
It's like a Wheel of Fortune. I'd like to buy a title, please. Yeah. Like, you're from Oklahoma, and like, no, you don't deserve a title. But so, I mean, you know, Luann never really growing on anyone. I wonder if there's actually, if anyone out there listening is actually a Luann fan, let us know.
Let us know.
Yeah. Well, here's a question I was thinking about, and I want to get your all's take on it. So at the end, obviously, there's kind of a little bit of an effort to let Ramona kind of fully embrace the fact that she was wronged by Luann. Is there any point to try to get Ramona in the anti-Luann boat yet again? Or is this something that she should just be like, yeah, it sucked, it's Luann, and we're still moving on? Or is this something that should once again revisit their clashing again and butting heads and hating each other?
Somebody.
Ladies, anyone.
I don't know.
Go first, somebody, please.
I don't know. I think you're asking a grand question for the people on iTunes to comment and rate.
You all's out there. What do you all think?
I want to know what they think.
What do you all think?
Yeah.
Comment.
Well, I actually kind of missed your question, Yerman. So I feel that's why I was like, anyone?
Wow.
I'll admit it.
Okay. No, I'm just at the dinner. So when in Florida,
oh,
when
and Aviva
all
brought
dinner,
it up.
Yeah, and Aviva brought it up, and all of a sudden Ramona's husband's like, "What's up with his French accent? Jack's accent is ridiculous." They were all basically like, "God, how ridiculous! How dare Luann do that?" And I understand that they were kind of talking about it and just racking their brain about, "Oh, that sucks." But it really did seem like at one point Ramona was considering, just when she'd kind of let bygones be bygones, yeah, that she's wondering if she should once again hate Luann once more.
Well, I think from speaking with Aviva and her addressing the pot stirring question, mm-hmm, that, or her own initiated question, right, of pot stirring, I think in that sense, I don't, you know, like she said, it's like someone's going to talk about these issues. I don't think we necessarily would have had it brought back up if Aviva hadn't said something. And I think Ramona wasn't smart enough in that moment to really see it, and I think it kind of went by her. But when Aviva brought it back up, I think that's when Ramona went, "Wait a second,
yeah,
she was being mean to me."
Yes.
She
put her head on her hands.
She was
right,
mean
right,
to
right.
Me.
No, I totally get that. Yeah. I wasn't even talking about should it have not been brought up. I'm wondering if Ramona should just drop it anyways.
Well, I think she was dropping it, and I think the flame was reignited by Aviva mentioning it, and uh-huh, I think it got everyone at the table stirred a little bit because,
gotcha,
you know, the husband was making fun of the boyfriend, which, uh-huh, I would too. I thought his Pepe Le Pew accent was perfect. And I like the little
He's
picking.
French, it's just how they talk.
Yeah, but his is like his animated.
Yeah.
His is like
really?
Cartoonish.
Yeah.
Not all French people sound like they're like wearing a beret.
And like holding
I mean?
A baguette.
Yeah.
On a bicycle.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think now we maybe want to get to our special segment. Let's get to our special segment. We're going to do What She Should Have Said, mm-hmm, which we've kind of missed, mm-hmm, the last couple of weeks, which we apologize for.
We're sorry.
We are sorry. We know it's a fun segment. I think I'll start. I have one from Luann,
excellent,
of course.
Excellent.
Who is the queen of this segment. When they were referring to the wines, and the sommelier asked the question, what color, or whoever asked it, they said, what's the color inside of the purple grape?
I remember this.
And someone said red or whatever, and it's white, and Luann said, even I knew the color of a grape. Even I knew the color of the grape. Well, she shouldn't have said, even I know the color of a grape. She should have said, obviously, I know the color of a grape.
Right.
Because it's like, yeah, Luann, of course we would assume you know the color of the inside of a wine grape.
Right.
Right. Whatever.
Countess. Yeah. Or she could have said nothing and not been a bitch about
Even
it.
Even I know the color of a grape inside. Yeah. It's like, what century are you in, woman?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
All right, who's next? I'm getting all upset.
Mine was from last week. I wanted to do it last week. Do you guys still want to hear it?
Yes,
of course. Of course we do.
So last week when all the ladies were in London and they got up from the table, Heather said, I'm going to go shake my moneymaker. And what she should have said is, I'm going to go shake my stomach because that makes my money.
That's her moneymaker.
She was implying that she was going to shake her ass. She went like that.
Right.
But she should have been shaking her jelly.
Yeah. Right.
Because that's the actual moneymaker.
Because that's the moneymaker.
That's her moneymaker.
Yummy tummy making the money.
Yummy tummy.
That's awesome. Awesome,
tell me why
awesome.
You love yummy.
Thanks, yeah, thank you for bringing that back. Thank you for bringing that back.
I have to bring up Heather in every episode. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
Heather is funny.
Mine were just, as usual, mine are just as much things that I just think are funny as opposed to what she should have said. I can't stand Ramona saying hi, sweetness to everybody. Can she just choose to say something else? Like what she should have said is hi, friend, hi,
Aviva.
Aviva, Luann, hi.
Can you imitate
hi.
How she says it?
What's that?
Can you imitate how she says it? I'm trying to imagine.
Hi, sweetness!
Never do that again.
Yeah. So there's
please
that.
No.
Thank you. Thank you. Then there's also that. I just thought this was a funny little bit at the very beginning. It's like the first thing that enters her, or that she says, they're at lunch and Sonia is talking about a doctor or something. And Ramona goes, oh, I know what we have to do. Something with a laser. It does something to your skin. And then when you use skincare, it goes into deeper layers of cells. And I was like, now that was a scientific moment right there. I just thought that was just like, oh, something with a laser. I'm just picturing like lasers on freaking sharks. So that was funny. And then finally, my favorite quote was from Sonia today. Phenomenal. She, in reaction to the whole being set up with a father, she goes, this could be really good or really bad. Sex addict good, father bad.
See, I thought it was going to be opposite.
Yeah?
I thought she was going to say,
sex addict bad, father good. Yeah, that's exactly what I would have said.
Exactly. So I just think it's like, wow, welcome to the obvious. Like, sex addict good, father bad.
I'd be like, father good, sex addict. Yeah. No, thanks.
Yeah.
I do have one more. When Ramona ordered her salad at dinner, and she was like, I'll have the arugula salad, but I don't want any of the cucumbers, and I want the red tomatoes cut in half. What she should have just said is, I'll have a salad.
I'll have a salad. Yeah.
Just shut up.
Just have a house salad. That's just fine.
Yeah, that's perfect. Well, fun. We did our special segment.
Yay!
Yay. So we're going to do some quick news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Breaking news, everybody.
This just in
from the news desk. This is kind of a sad news story, unintentionally sad news story, but Alex McCord from the prior seasons of Real Housewives is coming back to reality television.
Yeah.
But it's not in the best manner. It seems like her and her husband are maybe possibly slightly desperate to get back in the spotlight. But they're going to be doing the show Couples Therapy on VH1.
Oh.
Yikes.
Whoa.
And it's weird, too, because the whole time they were on the past seasons, it's like they had a good marriage.
Yeah.
So it seems just like an attempt to be like, look at me, because I hate to say some of the cast members that have been on are Angelina from Jersey Shore, who's no longer on Jersey Shore, and Linda Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going down a bad road, guys.
So big things expected for them in that show.
Yes, big things. Yeah. But I like Alex. I think I want her back on the show because I like her.
Maybe
her rashes.
I do too. But maybe their marriage is struggling since they've been off reality TV, and this will be good for them.
That's true. Their marriage is defined on fame. We also just have a little quick thing about Luann defending herself on Twitter last night because of Carol's comments regarding her borrowing a dress. So she tweeted a couple times during the episode while Carol was talking. She basically said, everyone borrows clothes, even Carol. So she's clearly addressing Carol. So obviously a little bit of tension. And
I think, I don't know if it was her Twitter or somebody else's, but was it Luann who said Carol borrows clothes for every photo shoot?
Ooh, maybe. I
saw it on
one.
Twitter, but I don't know if it was Luann. I'll have to look it
but
up.
But isn't that normal?
Yeah.
I'm not following how this is like a rebuttal.
That's for a specific photo shoot.
But it's common. Like she's trying to get her back on Twitter. It's so funny, these Twitter wars.
And she also tweeted, and I did love Carol Friend's, whatever she's the name. I can't say the name. Ranhana, the jewelry designer. Luann said, and I did love Rahana's jewelry, and I bought a few pieces. Mm. It's like, ooh, thanks. So we know you have the money to spend. Like, she's trying to cover her bases a little bit. I think just Luann is so concerned.
Why didn't she buy the dress?
Right. Exactly.
Luann.
They're expensive.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Called her out.
Yeah. Boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
So did that, De La Seps.
Yep.
So that wraps up news and gossip, and we'll do predictions.
Oh, my God. That sound.
And now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
Yerman, since you got beat down a little bit earlier today by Aviva, for the thing. I'm going to let you go first. I don't know why I brought that
up. Thank you so much. My prediction will be that I will cease and desist all timing of any sort of mention of anything that Aviva might be doing with any consistency.
That's a solid prediction.
That's a solid. I'm going to go ahead and say that's a 100% solid prediction.
Molly?
I predict that it looks like Aviva from the previews is... I don't know who her friends are going to be at the end of the season. I predict she might be friendless.
Yeah. Anna?
This is more excitement. I can't wait to see the Wrath of Aviva. Everything we're going to see
it's
a whole new
awesome.
Side of her. It's going to be amazing. And I also predict the reunion of Ramona and Sonia. See their friendship back on track, getting stronger.
Well, I predict that obviously the Aviva thing is going to happen, and it's going to make me have a reason to live next week. but I also see it between Ramona and Sonia. I don't see it just as a Ramona thing. I think Ramona and Sonia are going to get closer, and I think Aviva's beef is going to be with the two of them together as a team.
Mm.
So we'll see.
Yeah,
but I cannot wait. We are really excited. Yeah,
it's going to be a good episode.
Yeah. Oh, I'm such a big.
I saw
person.
Spit
can't
takes
wait.
In the previews. It's
can't wait
awesome.
To see Aviva get real.
Yeah,
get real.
Yeah.
Well, we've been real here at AfterBuzz TV. Thanks for listening. Again, thanks to everyone on iTunes. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow me at twitter.com/KristenCarney, KristenCarney, and go to my blog, sweatthesmallstuffwithkristen.com, and like it on Facebook. And if you guys get offended by stuff, like, don't point out that you're offended. Just read it and laugh. Okay. Next.
And I'm Anna Koppel. You can follow me on Twitter at Koppel for Mayor, KoppelForMayor. Also catch me here at AfterBuzz every Thursday night, 8 Pacific, to while I'm buzzing about anger management.
There we go. Yes.
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 And you can all catch me on Twitter, everybody, at Yermangur, YERMANGUR. And you can also catch me here on Sunday nights at 9 after buzzing about True Blood.
And I'm Molly Harper, and you can find me on Twitter at Molly Comedy. That's Molly with a Y. And you can also find me on my website, mollyharpercomedy.com.
And one last thing, I want to do a shout out for one of our iTunes commenters, A Real French. We want to say thanks for listening, and we hope you're relaxing well at night listening
Absolutely.
To us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Aviva.
Thank you.
Thanks, Aviva.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.